We have some visiting with us, some who aren't here. I wonder if the time change affected some of you. Probably did. The good news is your eyes may be heavy. The bad news is your eyes may be heavy. The good news is your stomach doesn't think it's hungry yet. So keep that in mind when you're trying to stay awake. This morning we're talking about the necessity to assemble. That's always been an issue in the Lord's church, and I think it goes all the way back to the first century. But I've noticed attitudes and opinions and ideas about assembling that really don't have anything more than an opinion as a basis for belief. So as I'm preaching this lesson, ask yourself, how much do you think a Christian should assemble in a public worship or in a Bible study? And I've had people say, well, four times a year is more than enough. The average faithful churchgoer would say, well, once a week is really good. That's how much we need to meet, once a week. And I've actually had people who go to certain churches say, well, I don't want to meet Sunday night and Wednesday because that's kind of fanatical. And so you have different attitudes. And of course, when I first began preaching many, many years ago, people come up and say, do I have to attend church on Sunday night? Do I have to come on Wednesday night? And then if we have a week-long gospel meeting, those same people just about have a stroke. What do you mean 5 days in a row? Well, let me ask you this. How would you know what the Bible has to say about that subject? Is it what you and I think? Is it what our families say? Is it what we grow up learning? Keep this in mind. The church in the Bible is described as the body of Christ. You and I are members. We're the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the mouth. But who's the head? Jesus Christ is. So don't you think the church as the body ought to ask the head, what's the right answer for that question? And I think he'd say yes. Furthermore, when Jesus Christ saved us by his blood, he then became our Lord. And don't you think a servant ought to listen to his Lord and say, Lord, speak, your servant hears command and I will obey. And then on top of that, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And you know what the word disciple means? It means a learner, a follower. Today we would call a disciple an apprentice. If you want to be a master plumber, you start out as an apprentice, and when you learn everything the master plumber has to teach you, then you become a master plumber. Jesus is our master teacher, and as disciples, the closer we follow him and listen to him, the better we become as his disciples. But it's not a hard question to answer from a Bible standpoint, and let's notice what we just read a moment ago. In Acts 2, when the church first began on the day of Pentecost, somewhere around AD 30 or 33, it says that newly formed church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now that's public worship. The apostles' doctrine is the doctrine that the Holy Spirit gave the apostles by Jesus Christ's authority. And so the church steadfastly studied this doctrine so they would know what to believe and what to do. And so steadfastly doesn't mean four times a year. In fact, in Acts 2, when the church first began, you can make a case that they met every day for a long period of time because that was the first church that ever was on the earth. But then later on, when we read the book of Hebrews, and the church has been around for 30 or 40 years, you see something changing. Some of the Jewish Christians who ought to be the stalwart members of the Lord's church are beginning to have second thoughts, and they're thinking, maybe we need to go back to Judaism. Maybe we need to go back to Old Testament worship. Maybe we need to go back to the temple. Maybe we don't need to be a member of the Lord's church anymore. And to those people, the apostle wrote and said, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. 30, 40 years after Christ died on the cross, we already see indifference and apathy about the assembly. But what do we do in the assembly? Well, we should continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We should continue steadfastly in the observance of the Lord's Supper. We should give as we've been prospered on the first day of the week. We need to sing God's word and praise. And so we're encouraging each other. And notice what it says. Not only are we assembling, but exhorting who? One another. Somebody says, I don't need to come three times a week. Well, maybe you don't, but maybe someone sitting next to you needs your presence. It's not just about what I want or what I need. It's what can I give to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And when you view the church as the Bible does, it's not a museum for perfection. It's a hospital for sick people. And all of us are sick with sin to some degree or another. And so where do you go, as Dan pointed out? Are you one of those who say, well, what I don't know won't hurt me? No, it just might kill you. But you know, men are the worst about not going to see the doctor because we don't want to know what we're going to find out. So when you finally say, okay, I'm going to give in, and my wife tells me when I'm going to the doctor because she likes me and wants me to stay around a little longer. But you see, when we come together, we find out what our weaknesses are or what the weaknesses of our brothers and sisters are. And so we help each other out by coming together, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is a mutual society of building each other up. So again, two things you ought to think about, three things. Number one, what does Jesus say about it? Number two, what's my attitude about assembling? And number three, do I care about my brothers and sisters in Christ? And all that pertains to this subject. But let me point out a different way. One reason we need to assemble is because the first century Christians assembled every first day of the week for public worship. And this is simply obvious because in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in worship. In Acts 20 and verse 7, the church in Troas met on the first day of every week to partake of the Lord's Supper and to worship God. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, the church in Corinth came together to partake of the Lord's Supper, as we've just done. In chapter 16, 1 and 2, they gave of their means and they worshiped God in other ways. Now, all of these are done because Jesus Christ commanded those things to be done. Hebrews 10, 25, do not forsake the assembling. That's a command. 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me. That's a command. 1 Corinthians 16, as I gave order to the church of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. It's a command to give as we've been prospered. Now I have a simple question here. Which of these commands can you disobey and still be in good standing with the Lord? And the answer is none of them. So when you forsake the assembly, and to keep in mind, forsake means you could have been here, but you chose not to. We're not talking about those who are sick in the hospital or those who can't be here because of illness or things of that sort. We're talking about deliberate, intentional absence. Somebody says, well, that's good because I can do all those things Sunday morning and I don't have to come back Sunday night. And I certainly don't have to come back Wednesday night. Well, stay tuned. At least we got one of the three knocked out. Let's see if we can go a little bit farther. There's other reasons for assembling with the saints. And there's an attitude about that that we need to talk about. And that's the attitude that David had in the Old Testament. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why did Jesus like going to church? Or rather, David. Why did David like going to church? Well, the Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. You love being around people you love. You love being places where you can do what you do. Dan Edmonds and I love to play golf, so if he calls up and says, hey, the weather's going to be good, I don't have anything to do, if you don't, let's go play golf. And I don't ever say, Dan, do I have to? I say, I'll be there at 6:30 in the morning if necessary, let's go. And you know, what's your favorite thing to do? Maybe you like to go out and eat somewhere at a restaurant. So somebody says, let's go out and have sushi. And you say, oh, I love sushi. So how fast can we get there? And you'll notice when you go to the sushi bar, you won't see me there. Because I tell my California cousins, the words sushi and shoey are very similar in my vocabulary. Now, I know all of you sushi lovers are going to say, well, Wayne, you're just old-fashioned, and that's true. I've tried it a time or two. I made sure a doctor was sitting beside me when I did, But I'm just not a big fan of raw foods, so anyway. But you see the point, don't you? The Jews of Malachi's day, who were very weak followers of God, were offering as sacrifice not a perfect lamb of the first year and a male. They were offering sick and blind and lame animals to God. That showed how little they thought of God. And Malachi, God said to him through Malachi, when you come to my assembly, you say, oh, what a weariness it is. So you see, attendance does have something to do with our attitude, doesn't it? And the question you need to ask yourself is, how much do I love the Lord? How much do I love His Word? How much do I love His people? And so David wouldn't ask, how many times do I have to assemble? He would just say, I'm glad when we get a chance to. And that's been my attitude throughout my whole life. But here are some other reasons for assembling that might affect your attitude about attendance. Number one, our love for Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And isn't that true? A child who loves his mother and father is easy to raise because that child wants to please their parents. And so we're Christ followers, and if we love him, we'll love to do what he says. Again, James chapter 2 and verse 18. Attendance is something we can do to help perfect or complete our faith by our actions. James said there, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. But James said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let's apply that to attendance. Show me your faith without your attendance, and I'll show you my faith by my attendance. You see the difference, don't you? And somebody says, oh, my attendance has nothing to do with my faith. It absolutely does. Because we've already shown you that God wants you to be here, that you're part of the body of Christ, that every one of us has something to contribute. And now we're trying to get members who say, well, do I have to be there to actually love the Lord enough to say, hey, I want to be there. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. Ask yourself this, is Jesus here on Sunday morning? Is Jesus here on Sunday night? Is Jesus here on Wednesday night? You know he is, because he's going to be here with us when we assemble, because this is a habitation of God through the Spirit. And if anybody's going to be in attendance, it will be Jesus. So if Jesus were literally here Sunday morning, you'd be here, wouldn't you? And if Jesus said, I'll see you tonight, you'd be here Sunday night, wouldn't you? And if Jesus said, I'll see you Wednesday, you wouldn't miss. Because who wants to get a phone call from the Lord saying, where were you? But you know, if your faith is strong enough, you see that Jesus is present every time the church assembles, and attendance is just not a problem because you want to be close to Jesus. In Matthew 26, verses 28 through 29, when Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, our assembly is the many. And we're having fellowship with Jesus and his life and death and sacrifice. And we are giving back, as Dan said, not only of our means, and he had an excellent point. We can never give back to God what God gave to us. We can never give enough to pay for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But we can give lovingly, we can give sacrificially, and we can give purposefully. Not only of our money, but of our attendance and our time and our interest and our Bible study. And so these things all play together. Show me your faith by your works, James would say. And so fellowship means a joint sharing, a communion together. And you can't commune when you're not present. And so these are reasons for assembling that really have nothing to do with having to or commanding to, but it's something that we should want to do. Furthermore, every assembly is an opportunity for spiritual growth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. We learn something every time we assemble if we're paying attention. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter, who was probably one of the most popular apostles, because Peter was one of those guys who was either the hero or the goat. And when he's the goat, we say, oh, I can understand Peter doing that. And when he's the hero, we say, you know, I can see me being like Peter. So we like him. He's human. We relate to him. He's like us. But Peter, in the last words he wrote before he laid his pen down and died, was, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you grow by coming to Bible study?
Yes.
Can you grow by listening to a sermon? Can you grow by encouraging others to do the same thing? Can you grow by what you learn in spiritual songs? You know, the Bible says teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Are you teaching and being taught when you sing? Are you learning about sacrifice when you give of your money? So you see, everything God has designed in worship and Bible study is designed to help you and me grow. And if we grow in our faith and grow in our lives, then we're going to become stronger Christians, and when we die, we'll go to heaven. But it's also equally true that if we absent ourselves as much as we can and only come rarely, then our faith has got to be weak, and it's not going to get stronger by absence. It's going to become weaker. That's why the Hebrew writer said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as already was the manner of some. How sad that was. And the whole Hebrew letter is writing to people saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Remain faithful. No matter what, stick to it. And so that's the same lesson God would speak to us today. Ephesians 4:12 says, every time we come together, we do the work of the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Every act of worship and study equips us to serve. And again, we're all to be servants. The Lord is our Lord. And so the more I learn, the more I learn how to help others. I'm a servant. You're a servant. We're all serving one another. If we only have the attitude of, what can I get out of the church? What can I get out of the assembly? What can I get out of Bible study? Then we're simply circling a circle around ourselves and forgetting everybody else. And we are not developing the spirit of Christ, who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The more you give, the more blessed you will be. That's true in every relationship in life. The more you give at school, the better a student you'll be, and you'll be the beneficiary. The more love you give your spouse in marriage, the greater your marriage will become, and your mate will give back more because of it. The better you do at work, the faster you'll get a raise or maybe a promotion. Every relationship in life, the more you do with a true heart, the better that relationship is. And certainly that's no different in the Lord's church. Somebody says, well, okay, you've got me on Sunday night, and Wednesday. You convinced me. But what about those gospel meetings? I don't read anywhere in the Bible where you have to do that. Well, let's think about that. Again, every Bible study provides opportunity for spiritual growth. You know, I've listened in the last year since I retired from preaching. And I've enjoyed listening. And people ask me a month or two, Andrew asked me about last July or August. He said, do you enjoy listening? Or what are you doing now that you're not preaching? I said, I enjoy listening. I hadn't listened in 48 years. Now I'm sitting in the pew listening. And I take notes because sometimes my mind wanders. But I think I've learned something new just about every time I've ever heard a sermon or a Bible class. And if I haven't learned something new, I've learned somebody didn't know something. And so we think about those things too. So 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and knowledge. Well, coming to church is a great way to do that. Every assembly can strengthen our faith because, again, go back to Hebrews 10:24, and he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so the church is a mutual helping society. You know, if you have an alcohol problem, you go to AA, don't you? And if you have a spiritual sin sick problem, you should come to the Lord's helping church. And that's what it says. People stir up in you good works. They'll say, you can do it. Keep on trying. You can do better. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. And so that's something we can do. Luke 17 and verse 5, you know what the disciples asked Jesus? They said, Lord, strengthen our faith. When's the last time you prayed that to Jesus? Lord, strengthen my faith. Well, I think we should all pray that. Every assembly consists of worship to God. And so that's a wonderful privilege again. Psalm 122, 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David loved the Lord and he loved worshiping him. Every assembly provides mutual edification because we're here as a body giving something to one another. And my attendance, your attendance helps build each other up. And ask yourself this, are you encouraged by more people being here or less people being here? That's obvious. You know, you watch the basketball tournaments over this past week and they always say, well, it's a full house tonight. And what if you watched a ball game on TV and nobody was in the stands? You probably changed channel. Like, well, if nobody else cares, I don't either. And so the enthusiasm and zeal of attendance is contagious. If our building's full, people want to be here. Wouldn't it be nice if you had to come early to get a seat? Wouldn't that be great? I got to get there early because they're putting chairs in the aisle. That's actually happened here before, and I hope and pray it happens again. And so every assembly encourages one another. And every assembly is a good work. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, where there the Apostle Paul said, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How much do we appreciate God saving our eternal souls? Our attendance tells us how much we do. But now, with all that being true, why do some neglect to assemble? Well, one simple reason, they just don't know better. They grew up going once a week or once a month, and they just think that's good enough. It's good enough for mom and daddy, it's good enough for me. Well, are you a disciple of Jesus? Then what does He teach you? Are you part of the body? What does the head say about it? Are you a Bible student? What have you learned? And like I said, this is not complicated. All I've said this morning points out that God wants you to be here as often as you can be here, and your want to should also be that. So they should measure up. Secondly, sometimes we let lack of interest. Somebody says, well, I don't get much out of the sermon. And I know what my dad used to say about that. He said, well, if you're not getting anything out of the sermon, he said, you didn't bring anything to put it in. And as a teenage kid, when I heard that, I thought, what's he talking about? Because all I could picture is a bucket. I thought, you don't bring a bucket to church to put a sermon in that. Do you know what he meant by that? If you know what that phrase means, raise your hand so I'll know you already know. Harold knows and a couple of others. What it means is you prepare your heart and mind by studying during the week so that your fertile mind can accept the teaching in the sermon or the Bible class. If all the teaching you ever get is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, if you come that much, then you're not bringing something to get it in. And guess what? You'll come to church and say, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, that's because you didn't prepare the vessel. Work on that part of it, and you'll find out how much more you appreciate and enjoy getting something out of it. Company, family, friends hinder coming. It's a shame and disgrace because Jesus said, if you love father and mother, son or daughters, brother, sister, husband or wife more than me, you're not what? You're not worthy of me. Wow. How many people will lose their souls in eternity because they let family interfere with their relationship with God? Some say, well, Sunday's the only day I have to sleep and relax. And my answer to that is, in Revelation 1, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What day is the Lord's Day? First day of the week. Why? That's the day Jesus rose from the dead. That's the day the church began in Acts chapter 2. That's the day that they assembled to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. That's the day they came together to give as have been prospered. Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Lord's Day. And if that's His day, what are you doing with it? Well, that's the only day I've got. In truth, that's the only day we don't have. And let me illustrate how selfish that is to say that. Suppose you had a little child, 6 years old, and you gave that child 10 dimes and said, now go share that with your brother and sister. And they go and say, well, I got 10 dimes from mom and dad, so I'm going to give my sister Sally one dime because I'm selfish. And mom finds out about it and says, well, why did you just give him one dime? Well, you just said give some. You didn't say how much. Well, mom would say, well, if you want to be fair, you should keep five and give five. That's being fair and that's equal, right? But I don't want to. Now, would you put up with your child saying, I'm going to give one dime, keep the other nine from me? Probably along the way you'd say, well, since I gave the dimes, it's up to you, but I'm disappointed in you being that selfish of a person. You ought to be more generous than that, because if you learn to be generous, you'll learn to care about others. Now, you see the application. God gave us 7 days in the week, and he's only asked for one of those days back, and now we're not going to give that one to him because it's our day. Now you've just taken all 7 days, and how selfish is that? Others say, well, the preacher preached at me, so I'm offended. And I've already experienced that. I preached on attendance and made somebody mad. They walked out and said, well, you stepped all over my toes this morning. And I thought, good, they'll be back tonight. They weren't. And so the preacher, here's something I heard a long time ago. Attendance on Sunday morning tells you how popular the church is. Attendance on Sunday night tells you how popular the preacher is. And attendance on Wednesday night tells you how popular Jesus is. Let that sink in a while. And I think it's probably true. And then, well, the church. They're always telling me what to do. But again, think about it this way. How can I build the church up here at Roan Ridge? Every Christian needs to feel personally responsible for the well-being of this church. Every Christian should want to take advantage of every spiritual opportunity. Every Christian must desire the fellowship of one another. Every Christian should invite somebody to come with them once in a while. And every Christian must show others that Christianity means something to them. Jesus Christ said, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And that's a good question. And we sing that song, I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given to me? What have you given back to the Lord in appreciation? Reality says that 4 hours a week is not asking too much. And if once or twice a year we have four more evening services called a gospel meeting, that's not too much. And so the reality of attendance is, it absolutely is a barometer of our faith before God. Habitual obedience tells us that our faith is strong. Habitual absence says our faith is weak and dying. Not only does it show a barometer, it's also telling us that we're disobeying the Lord's command. So show me your faith without your works. You can't do it, can you? I'll show you my faith by my works. So I appreciate your attendance this morning, especially having lost an hour of sleep. But it didn't hurt too bad, did it? And I was glad when they said to me, let's go in the house of the Lord. And I know everybody here feels the same way. But at the same time, there's times when weakness or temptation or encouragement to do something else gets in the way. If you'll study your Bible and let God speak to you and tell you the things God's Word said to us about attendance, that will never be a problem again. There's a gospel preacher I read about many, many years ago, and he said, when I obeyed the gospel, he said, that's when I decided how often I would attend the services of the saints. He said, I don't make the decision Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Wednesday. He said, I made that decision when I decided to obey the Lord and obey him completely. And so he said, if I'm not in attendance, it's because I'm sick or dead or out of town. And talking about that, there was a man not much older than me, but he was quite a bit younger when this event happened. He was a very faithful member of church in Mississippi. So faithful that one Sunday morning he didn't show up. And everybody in that congregation said something happened to him, because if he were able, he'd be here. So they went looking for him. He wasn't at home, but his truck was gone. Somebody knew that on Saturdays he would go out to the woods and cut trees down and collect firewood for his fireplace. And so they drove out to the place where he cut firewood, and sure enough, he cut a tree down, and it fell on top of him and killed him. And luckily, they found him Sunday within less than 24 hours. And as they carried his body and buried him, somebody said, if he weren't a faithful member, how long would that body have laid there before he was found? He wasn't married, he didn't have children, but he did have the Lord. And so that's a great testimony. If you're absent on Sunday night or Wednesday, does everybody say, well, no surprise? Or are you so faithful that if you're missing, people go to see what's wrong? Let me be of that category. And I pray to God that you'll have that kind of faith too. So today, if you're not a child of God and you'd like to become a Christian, sacrifice your life for God. Give him the best of your life. Believe in Jesus, who's not only your Savior, but also your Lord. And obey him in faith, turning away from sin and repentance. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Lord of your life. Be buried in the waters of baptism to wash away all your past sins, all your shortcomings. Arise to walk in a new life, and let that new life be a life of faith and trust and hope. And then show everyone your faith by your faithfulness to God, not only in the church, but as an individual Christian out in the community. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. If as a child of God you've fallen short, you need the prayers of the church here, then this invitation song is for you as well. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
While on the cross he prayed, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. For us he died that for him we might live. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will he be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? He from the grave on the third day arose, missions of man to disclose.